You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Justin Lang-Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan-Verisov, Mike Rossnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Joe Statter, Evergreen Advisors, and Lexi Kessler-Aronson. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Let's see. Katie, will you please give us the rundown on who we have on the show?
Sure. We have Remy Butchko, CEO, Georgetown Insurance, Lloyd Palmateer, CEO, First Financial Group, Ted Rose, President and CEO, Rose Financial, and Jared Spiegel, CEO of Phase One.
Excellent. Let's get to know Remy Butchko, who is the CEO of Georgetown Insurance. Remy, what is Georgetown Insurance? What do you guys do?
Georgetown Insurance is an independent insurance agency focusing in property and casualty lines.
So you're an insurance brokerage, and are your clients businesses or people?
Both. About 90% are commercial lines, and about 10% of the business is personal insurance, like homeowners and such.
Uh-huh. How large and how small is this business?
Premium-wise.
Well, give me a bit in terms of businesses that you serve, number of businesses that you serve or people.
Approximately 1,200 businesses and about 3,500 individuals and families.
Wow. That's a nice-sized business. Who started this business?
My parents started the business in 1977.
1977, they started the business. And was your mom or your dad that started the business?
My father came from the insurance background with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Uh-huh. How interesting. So you're the second generation. How young were you when you started working in this business?
Well, it was a family business. It was in the basement of the house growing up. So I really started with my first insurance experience when I was 9 or 10 years old.
Doing what kind of stuff in the basement?
Filling out lead sheets for my father. Filing certificates of insurance.
Well, how'd you feel about that when your friends are outside playing and your dad's saying, listen, I need you to down here to do some work?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it was hard, but as a family with a small business, we were new to the area, and you step up and do what you have to do.
What'd you learn from that experience that you use nowadays every day?
Just that sometimes you have to put aside the fun things to get the job done. And
do you find yourself doing that now?
Yeah,
give me
definitely.
An example of that. What do you mean?
We just had a situation yesterday with a customer with a tough claim, and I was supposed to be going out with some friends and had to stick by. And
you did the job. You did the thing. So mom and dad, are they still involved in the business?
My mother's been retired for a while. My father still is part-time, I would say.
Mr. Statter, did you have a question?
Yeah. Was there any point that you said, we got to take the business in a new direction? Was there any conflict in working with your parents? When did you step up?
We never really had any conflicts in that regard. When I started running the business, I was a little more of a growth model than a lifestyle model, which is what it had morphed into over the years. But when you have more people involved, the business has to grow to feed the mouths.
Why'd you get involved with growing the business? Why'd you bother doing that?
Family needs. I had a new house. Had just got married. My parents had other things that they want to do with their lives. Avid golfers. They like to travel, and needed someone to grow the business to be able to provide for those needs and those freedoms.
The impression that I got when we were speaking earlier is the reason you grew the business was for your parents. Isn't that true?
It was so that they could do the things that they wanted in life, because they gave a lot back to give to me and my brother, starting and building the business from nothing.
Was that your primary driver to build the business? For
yeah,
mom and
it really
dad?
Was.
So you did it out of family loyalty, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I think a lot of it came from survival. I mean, we came to the area. We were new, didn't really know anybody, had a startup business.
Yeah, but I'm wondering where this loyalty to your parents came from. But my guess is your deep sense of loyalty has also affected the team that you're working with. What's different about your team than normal teams?
We're all loyal to each other.
What do you mean by that?
Like
you have
I
any
said,
evidence of this? Didn't you tell me a story yesterday about one of your people coming to you and telling you something?
Oh, yeah. We were joking about our operation being the Island of Misfit Toys from Pinocchio, which some people are probably familiar
why,
with.
Why did one of your people tell you that?
Well, we all have our quirks and come from different backgrounds, and we all know our strengths, we all know our weaknesses, and work together accordingly.
So the glue that holds it all together is this loyalty you felt toward your parents, and you also feel to your people.
Absolutely.
You got a lot of turnover in the company?
Next to zero.
Uh-huh. I didn't think so. Lexi, did you have a question there that you were thinking of?
Come
on up, close it up.
With a strong sense of loyalty, how do you translate that to the business, external to the organization?
Right.
it's a real driver in terms of the culture, in terms of how everybody is, in terms of the people that work there, and also in terms of the customers that we attract and retain.
Interesting. Justin.
Remy, you often hear the media about second-generation businesses not having a great success rate. How do you combat those pitfalls?
You got to be open, and you got to have everybody's interests in mind. You can't. There's no room for selfishness. We work with a lot of family businesses and see a lot of them fail, and usually it's in a situation where they're not doing a good job looking out for each other's interests.
You use the word. You have to be careful that you're not selfish. Is that what you just said? That's one of the reasons that the business is surviving.
To not be selfish, you have to keep in a small family business. You have to keep everybody's interests in mind, not just your own.
But what Justin asked you was: many businesses fail the second generation or the third generation. Yours is growing, and you're telling me the reason why is because you're not selfish.
Exactly. The small businesses that we see fail is usually because somebody gets greedy or gets selfish along the way, and it ultimately leads to the demise of generational businesses.
What do you like best about your job?
I like the fact that the clients that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, it's almost more like going to visit friends versus a business transaction.
Mm-hmm. Has Dad's working with you every day?
Not so much anymore. He's tapered off a little bit.
You think he's proud of you?
One more time?
You think he's proud of you?
I would hope so.
Why?
We've built a good, successful company, and we do a lot of things right, have a good reputation.
Has he ever told you that he's proud of you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know he's told a lot of other people more than he's told me, but that's okay.
He's told other people. And why do you think he's proud of you?
Well, we've worked together for 25 years, and
What is it that you've done that he's proud of?
I think in terms of the successful, the loyalty, the people, the development of the business, and also in terms of the individuals that are involved with the business.
How about Mom? Mom was working in the business. What did you get from Mom that you use every day?
Well, one of the biggest things I get from Mom is being able to work with Dad. They've been able to figure that out for 50 years. So growing up around that, and both with the business and the house, you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Katie, did you have a question?
I was just curious. At what point did you know that you wanted to work for this company as your career? I know you worked there as a child, but when did you decide this is really what I want to do, and what led you to that decision?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I saw growing up with the business in the house is the rewards and the freedoms that you can have with a small business that you might not get going and working for.
Wait a minute. I thought you were working 28 hours a day. That was the impression I got. What do you mean rewards and freedoms?
Well, when you're a small business, particularly in the financial services like we are, the sky's the limit in terms of what you want to do and how much you want to make. You can choose to work or you can choose to play.
So you're telling me that on one hand, you're working really hard. On the other hand, you do have a couple of freedoms when you have the freedoms. Yes, Katie.
Was there a sense of, I guess, going back maybe to that loyalty that you had to carry on the family business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a certain amount of it that was driving me because I felt like I need to give back.
Boy, that was a great question. That really is what's driving you, is really helping build the family business, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can we put your kids on the spot? Do you see one of your children taking over the business from you?
I really don't think so. I certainly would not want to take that away as an option, but at the same time, one of the things that I never felt any obligation to take over the business. I was always told, be your own person, do whatever you want. I did not do it out of obligation. And I don't know that I'd feel comfortable putting that on my children either. But the door's certainly open, but they're going to have to go through the process just like everybody else did to come in the door.
So, Joe, you have another question there?
So with the void in the succession plan, do you want your team, your current employees, to take over the business?
Yes, that's what we're moving toward right now, and there's really no void. I mean, right now we're still a very very young organization, and we have pretty good perpetuation plans in place.
Mm-hmm. Justin,
Remy, giving back seems to be a recurring theme in your life. Are there any philanthropic interests that you have that that align with that as well?
Frankly, not from a personal standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, we actually have. We actually got formal with a plan for which philanthropies we were going to embrace and donate to.
How important is it to you to be a good guy?
Very important to be a good guy. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to...
I thought the CEO was like slash and burn and fire people and yell and scream, but you're like the opposite of that. Loyal to your parents, loyal to your people. You don't want to fire people.
Don't get me wrong. If I need to bring it to the table, I can. So.
Yeah, I don't know. You sound like a sweetheart to me. What's the website address of Georgetown Insurance?
It's georgetowninsurance.com.
georgetowninsurance.com. Uh-huh. We've been speaking with Remy Butchko, who's the CEO of Georgetown Insurance here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Justin Lang-Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Katie Jordan-Verisolve, Joe Statter, Evergreen Advisors, Lexi Kessler-Aronson. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Justin Lang-Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Katie Jordan-Verisolve, Joe Statter, Evergreen Advisors, Mike Rosnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, and Lexi Kessler-Aronson. I'd like to introduce a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Palmateer, who's the CEO of First Financial Group. What is First Financial Group? What do you guys do?
Independently owned financial planning firm. We actually serve the whole Mid-Atlantic corridor. We have about 250 people, serve 45,000 families and 2,000 businesses in the local communities.
And are you the owner of this business?
I am. I bought the firm 10 years ago. I worked in it for 10 years previously. But yes, I took over ownership 10 years ago.
So you bought the business. And tell us about who you were and who you are 8 to 14 years old.
Grew up on a dairy farm in Michigan. We worked very hard as children. Played sports, loved it. After graduating from college.
So you were playing sports as a kid. Where were you from originally?
Michigan.
Michigan. And you grew up on a farm, a dairy farm.
There you go.
And you played a lot of sports.
Right.
And what kind of sports did you play?
Football, basketball, baseball. We played every sport, so that way you didn't have to milk the cows at night. So.
What was the common thread of your role in all those different sports teams?
I always worked to be the best athlete on the team. I led the team. I was team captain. Worked really hard at trying to become, you know, the best that I could be.
Does that have any connection to who you are today and maybe the reasons you've been successful?
Yeah, I've always been driven and focused. Whenever I set a goal or expectation, I always work very hard to achieve it no matter what.
That's interesting. Joe, do you have a question there?
So was that drive driven by your youth and growing up on a farm and just not knowing where the next meal was going to come from? There's a lot of externalities working on a farm.
Well, we had meals all the time, and we had lots of love, but we didn't have money. So I was having to make sure that I worked really hard to make sure that no matter what happened in my life, I would always have money. And I'm married. I have three girls.
Can you give us an example of how you experienced knowing you didn't have money? And what was going on? Tell us about that experience you had with your dad.
Well, my dad was a janitor, worked as a janitor for a blue-collar kind of environment, you know, worked on the farm. So we didn't have a lot of money. My dad was very...
Didn't you tell us you had an experience one day talking to your dad when you were a kid?
Yeah, he was distraught, you know, not having money, working on the farm.
How old were you? I was about 10. Did you approach him to talk to him about something?
I could tell he was very upset, so I talked to my dad, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, you know, don't have any money, you know, the tractor's broken, lots of things happening bad. And I said, why do you do it? And he pointed at me, and he said, I do it for you.
How did that make you feel?
Well, it made me proud, but also made me very sad at the same time.
What do you mean?
Well, proud because my dad was working so hard to have a good life for me, but sad in the fact that he had to experience this.
So how's that affected you?
That's driven me completely for my whole life.
What do you mean?
Well, every time I do anything in life, I try to figure out how can I create the best outcomes for other people? How can I make sure that I create a great outcome for my family? I never want my children to have the same experience I had to deal with, even though it's a great experience.
So this organization that's called First Financial Group.
Right.
In terms of its competition, what makes it special?
It makes it special because everything that we do as an organization is about helping people create great lives and great outcomes.
Katie?
You mentioned you don't want your children to have to sort of see you the same way that you saw your father when he was really distraught. How do you, you know, provide them the security but still instill that sense of work ethic and value and hard work?
Well, that's the challenge because we have had some success as a family. So now what we do is continually put things in place for our children to have to do consistently so that they aren't just given everything. We want to make sure that they work hard for everything they get in their life.
If you wanted to financially retire, could you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And but you're not. You're not. Look,
I'm not ever going to retire.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
What do I need?
No, what do you mean you're not going to ever retire? I thought the idea was...
My job is to create a great impact in the community, to help as many people have success as possible. That's my job, and that's our focus.
Wait a minute. I thought the idea was to make as much money as you can and retire.
Once I achieve that, it's next. Like, what's next? And so what's next for me is to help as many people achieve financial success, create a great life for themselves. I want everybody to have a good life for the rest of their life.
Huh, interesting. Next question. Who's got the next question? Lexi? Katie? Joe? Interesting. So Katie had asked you a question about your kids.
Yes.
So why don't you just give them a lot of money so they don't ever have to work?
Because then they won't appreciate it. Give them fish, they eat for a day. Teach them how to fish, they'll eat for the rest of their lives.
What do you mean by that? I'm not sure I understand.
Yes, you do. It's you know, it's one of those parables in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have three daughters, Lane, Lucy, and Lily. They're 8, they're 12, they're 13. And every day I have to teach them how to be good citizens, how to work hard, how to do the right things. And that's my job as a parent.
So your job is not to give them a lot of money and let them get spoiled and
actually,
stuff.
I think that's just the worst thing to do for kids.
What do you mean?
Well, giving kids money just means that you throw money at them, they don't appreciate it. Everybody has to have skin in the game. They have to work for what they've done.
How old are your kids?
They're 8, 12, and 13.
Mm-hmm. When they need a car, who's going to pay for the car?
They are.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because they won't appreciate it if I just give it to them. You have to teach people. And we have to co-invest together. It's not just giving it to them. It's helping them earn something, and they'll feel pride in themselves because they've done that.
Is your dad aware of your success?
He is.
What do you think about it?
He loves it.
Mm-hmm. Has he been to your office?
Yeah, he has.
How do you think he felt when he walked in the door?
He was amazed.
What do you mean?
Well, it's hard for him to believe that, you know, where I came from and where he came from, that something could be accomplished so great. He's very proud.
Mm. How about your mom?
Equally, but not surprised.
Why would she not be surprised?
Well, because I always worked really hard. They created an environment for me to be very strong. They always tried different things in their lives. They helped me become strong as a person. And they gave me the capability to try anything no matter what.
Mm-hmm. They gave you the capability. They gave you the what to try? What was that again?
The capability, the confidence to know that you can fail over and over and over again, but you pick yourself back up and you keep moving forward.
The confidence to know that you can fail, but you keep picking yourself up over and over again. And that's been helpful to you.
Oh, I've failed so many times at so many things, but at the same time, I always keep trying. So we fail forward, fail fast, but pick yourself up and keep going.
Is that one of the advantages of having your kids buy their own car?
It is. I mean, I think everybody has to have the opportunity to do well and or also have the reality of not making a good decision and what the impacts of those decisions are going to be.
Lexi, you have a question there?
Curious how you translate that then to your employees as an employer.
That's difficult. But we have to create structures and environments for people to be successful. So we have incentive-based programs. We also give people the opportunity to grow and build. You know, as our firm has grown over the years, you know, we're at 250 people in our firm in total now. So when I started there, we were only at 6. So over that time period, we've had a lot of growth. And so what's occurred is that, you know, you have to put systems in place and structures in place so that people can exceed at every level. Mm-hmm. And you have to give people the opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm. Justin?
Lloyd, you've got a very inspiring pick-yourself-up-by-your-bootstrap story. What are you most proud of, whether it be professionally or personally?
That's a great question. Personally, I'm most proud of the fact that I have a great family. Professionally, I think that we're creating an environment where people are being successful and we're really helping a lot of families have great lives.
The website address for First Financial Group?
FFGDC.com.
FFGDC.com. We've been speaking with Lloyd Palmateer, who's the CEO of First Financial Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. I'd like to thank my co-host Justin Lang, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan, Verisov, Mike Rossnell, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Joe Statter, Evergreen Advisors, and Lexi Kessler. Aronson for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, co-host Justin Lang, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan, Verisol, Mike Rosno, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Joe Statter, Evergreen Advisors, and Lexi Kessler. Aronson, like to introduce a gentleman by the name of Ted Rose, President and CEO of Rose Financial. Ted, what is Rose Financial? What are you guys doing?
We're a finance and accounting outsourcing firm that has built a shared service center here in Rockville, Maryland.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 45 employees now.
45 employees. And how'd you get a job with this company?
I founded the company in 1994.
You founded the company. And were you married or single at that time?
I was married.
Uh-huh. Did you tell me about that time your wife gave you some other news as well?
Yeah, we had our first son was conceived shortly, right during this period of time.
Uh-huh. Didn't you feel like really worried and afraid because most 85% of businesses fail and here you are starting a business and giving birth at the same time?
I think that just gave me more drive and more commitment to be successful. I think she may have felt a little bit of concern about that.
What gave you more drive?
Knowing that I had a wife and child to support.
Uh-huh. And so as opposed to crippling you, you just put your head to the focus and just nailed it, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. And how young were you when you started making money?
Elementary school.
Uh-huh. Doing what?
Just odd jobs and shoveling the
Whose idea
driveways.
Was it to go shoveling driveways?
It was mine.
It was your idea.
Like I liked the idea of earning money, being able to take care of things
How
myself.
Many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother and one sister.
And where are you in the pecking order?
In the middle.
How do you think that affected you?
I think it helped me understand both sides of issues, and I was able to be the peacemaker in many cases.
What's that have to do with being a successful entrepreneur, being the middle of two kids and being the peacemaker? What's that have to do with anything?
I think it's important to understand our clients, understand our employees, understand the issues that they're facing and how we can bring everyone together towards a common goal.
Is this empathy? Is this a sense of humanity? What's going on with you?
I think empathy, just intuition and empathy combination.
Intuition in business? No. Business is numbers. It's blood and guts. No?
It's a combination of two.
Meaning. Where do you mean? How do you use intuition in business?
You have to connect with people to really understand what they, what they want, in their futures, and help them move forward.
I can understand that in terms of selling a client. You just tell them whatever you got to tell them. In order, you have to use your instinct to be able to tell them whatever you got to tell them to sell them, right?
No, it's more about understanding what their real problems are and solving those big problems.
What's the benefit of doing it that way?
Provides for the long-term sustainability of a business.
Well, the good thing is you don't have to worry about your internal people, though. You can just tell them what to do, right? They're just employees.
No, you need to really understand them as well, understand what their motivations are, what they want for their futures.
Wait a minute. You're telling me like you're the master understander. You have to understand your customers. You have to understand your people. And you think that came from growing up the middle of three kids?
I think it had a lot to do with that.
Huh, interesting. And how young were you when this entrepreneurial side was identified, and how'd that come out?
I think it was right around that time period. My mom always used to buy me puzzle books, and I was always doing the puzzle books. She also would buy me entrepreneur magazines.
How old were you when your mother was buying you entrepreneur magazines?
Elementary and middle school.
Uh-huh. And what did your mother do for a living?
She was a doctor.
So she was a doctor. Huh. Well, I wonder what's the issue there. Lexi, did you have a question along those lines or something?
Ted, what do you think are some of the skills of being a doctor that you've been able to translate into what you do today?
I think, she, as a doctor, she would, diagnose her patients and work to solve, cure their ailments. And in my position, I'm identifying my clients' problems and helping to solve those problems.
Do you really see a connection there between your mom being a doc and you being this entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities as far as what she did and understanding her patients' ailments and whatnot, and me understanding my clients' issues and problems.
Katie?
And Ted, you also take a lot from your father. You mentioned he's a bit of a trailblazer himself. Would you maybe tell us about that? And would you say that translates to your, I guess, lack of fear in becoming an entrepreneur yourself?
I think the trait that I picked up from my father was actually perseverance. He was a trailblazer in radio telescopes and actually took measurements at the Naval Research Lab in Washington, D.C. that measured the background radiation that occurs throughout the universe at 3 degrees Kelvin.
What's that have to do with what you're doing?
Well, those measurements that he took, he was not able to take the research off of the naval base. And
but how's this research, this measurement, have anything to do with what you do for a living and the reason you're successful?
Because he didn't go off the base to retake those measurements.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years later, an individual off the at Bell Labs took those measurements and was later won the Nobel Prize from those measurements.
So you do that in your business as well?
Well, we're trailblazing in the finance and accounting outsourcing arena. You know, I coined the term in the Washington Business Journal in 1995, and have been working towards building the systems to really take that to the next level.
So you've got the diagnostics of your mom, and you've got this pioneering of your dad.
That's right.
Huh, interesting. Joe?
you said earlier that you get to see both sides and you get to weigh things out and you're the peacemaker. How does that translate into being a CEO? Why would you want to keep the peace? Wouldn't you want to just fire who didn't do his job and shake things up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that creates a lot of turmoil in an organization. I find it's better to understand where people are coming from. They see things that I don't see, and it's important to include that information.
So you don't know everything, and you actually learn from other people?
No, I bring in a lot of smart people that do a lot of great things.
So you're not the smartest guy under the sun, huh? Katie, what do you got?
What would you say is the most exciting thing about your day?
My day?
Or about your job in general?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different day every day, and we do a lot of really exciting things. And when we have a breakthrough on the technology side, and I see the excitement in my staff's eyes, when they've solved a problem that's been nagging us for a month or two,
you really get turned on by your people, don't you?
Yeah, they're great people. They do great things.
You have any kids?
I do.
Two. How old are they?
I have a 20-year-old boy, two boys, 20 and 17.
Uh-huh. What's the similarity between being a dad and it says here on this piece of paper that you're the president of Rose Financial. What's the similarity between being a dad and president and CEO of Rose Financial?
Children, they know what they know, and my job is to help them just expand their what they know.
It's expose them, huh?
Make better decisions.
What does that have to do with being the CEO of the business? What's the similarity there?
Well, we set the goals. I set the goals for the organization, and I try and help our staff solve the problems.
You're like the father at home and the father at work.
In a lot of ways.
What do you mean?
If I tell my son to eat eat his broccoli, he's not going to eat his broccoli. But if I talk to him about the importance of growing strong, he's more likely to do that.
And give me an example of that in business.
I think it's the goals that we've set as an organization as a focal point. Our goal is to significantly improve the financial performance of 500 companies on an ongoing basis by the year 2020. And that, as a goal, has brought everyone together in working towards solving that problem. So, when they're doing their job day in and day out, they're seeing the problems that we have today, but they're solving that problem for preparing for the future.
So your job as a dad, as well as the CEO, is to help paint the vision and then help move everybody toward that vision.
Right, to give them a common goal.
But it's not demanding things from people. You have to gain commitment. You can't demand compliance. Is that what it's all about?
No, that only works in very short-term bursts.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to really gain everybody's commitment.
That's right.
And that comes from really understanding everybody, which you got a lot of training with being the middle child.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Were mom and dad, they're surprised at what you're doing for a living nowadays?
Well, my dad passed away a few years back.
Sorry to hear that. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
You think he was surprised?
No, I don't think he was.
Why not?
I think he just always expected me to be successful. You know, I had to.
Well, how would he have defined success? Money, money, money?
No.
What do you mean?
I think it's making a difference. Just making a difference in the world. I think that's what he did in his career, and I think that's what he expected me to do.
And mom, what would mom define success as?
That's a good question. Mm. I think she'd have a very similar view on that.
Mm.
She was a pioneer in her own
affecting the
realm.
Community. What's the website address for Rose Financial?
RoseFinancial.com.
We've been speaking to Ted Rose, President and CEO of Rose Financial, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Jared Spiegel, CEO of Phase One. Jared, what is Phase One? What do you guys do?
We're the largest Salesforce cloud application development company in the federal sector.
Hmm. How old or how young is this company? No,
we've been around for about 15 years.
15 years. And how large or how small is the organization?
We do north of $50 million in revenue, a couple hundred people.
Uh-huh. How'd you get a job with this company?
I was one of the founders of the company.
You're one of the founders of the company. Have you founded and exited any other previous businesses?
Yeah, sure. Two in the telecom sector. Mm-hmm. You know, one in Dallas, one in Denver.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
40.
Uh-huh. Could you retire if you wanted to?
Sure.
Why not?
You know, there's a lot of complicated problems to solve in this town, and that's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Wait. Complicated problems. How young were you when you were solving complicated problems, 8 to 14 years old? Give us an example.
Oh, well, I mean, 16, 17, 18, already working with technology at a young age, trying to solve, things.
Mm. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a younger brother.
Younger brother. And how much younger is he?
He's 2 years younger.
Uh-huh. Usually brothers that are that close in age, they really beat each other up and fight a lot and stuff. I guess that was going on in your family, right?
No, not really. I mean, yeah, he's his own person. I'm my own person. We've got strengths in different areas, and I think it was a very complimentary, household where people got along.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Well, I was a military brat growing up, and so I went to a zillion schools. Mm-hmm. Rochester, New York to Hawaii.
I wonder what that did about in terms of helping you not only become adaptable, but also develop a sense of loyalty to the family unit, to your close friends. Did that have an effect on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different types of people around this country and around the world with lots of different types of needs. And you learn to identify those needs and help to really have an empathy for those folks. And as a family, you're the only people you know when you move to town. And so obviously you have to stick together in that regard.
Uh-huh. So as a serial entrepreneur, what's that have to do with your success, though? I'm trying to figure out the connection between your moving around a lot and this family stuff. What's that have to do with being a successful entrepreneur?
I think when you move around a lot, you obviously get to know lots of different types of folks. You see lots of problems. I think problem identification is a big part of it, And so when I first came to D.C. after 9/11 happened, my wife and I moved to town, and it was really evident that there were a whole collection of technology-oriented problems in town that needed help. And identifying that need is something, I think, that mm-hmm. has driven us mm-hmm. for the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Solving complicated problems. How interesting. Who's got the next question here? Joe?
So growing up as a military brat, what did your mom do? She stayed at home?
Yeah, she stayed at home.
And staying at home, you saw the impact that you're feeling the impact and the impact that she had on you.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's really been driven you in business.
You know, what's interesting is the military spouses have a whole lot of the transition to carry on themselves. And so the husbands or the wives of the military person goes to work, the next day and does their job. It's the spouse who has to deal with setting up the family in a new structure, a new environment. And so very much it's a dual work environment. The wives or the spouses, the husbands have.
So what did you get from your mom you use every day?
Well, my mom and my dad are very similar in that they're both driven, organized, and high energy types of folks.
What did you get from your mom special?
I think that she's got a loyalty into the family. Mm-hmm. She takes a great pride in raising my brother and I.
How about this feeling for people?
Well, exactly. I think that she cares for others. I think that that's not something that you get other than to watch somebody else.
So
that
how,
you're growing up with.
How does your caring for others show up in your entrepreneuring?
You know, there are some pretty diehard people that are out there that don't treat people well, and I think that that's more and more the case in business. I think that the more that
isn't that you though? You're the serial entrepreneur, aren't you? Slash and burn?
No. You know, the more that you can gather smart people around you to do smart and challenging things, the better that you're going to be.
And so the glue that's the magnet that's going to bring them to you is what?
You know, I think it's bringing an energy towards really complicated problems. People don't want to do boring things anymore.
I think it has to do with the fact that you treat people a certain way, and I think it came from your mom.
Well, there's some of that, I think. You know, you learn through watching mom and dad and how they do things, and then you emulate that in your professional
life. Lexi, what kind of question you have there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, certainly what you're saying with the military background, upbringing, that your mom really created this nucleus for the family. Your father was strong sense of teamwork in the military. So I think those two had to have converged for you throughout your career.
Absolutely. I mean, high energy and teamwork and is one thing, and you have to have that, but you have to have an empathy for others and the a care for the people that are around you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the mother-father combo comes in my brain.
Justin?
Jared, you've obviously moved around and traveled a lot early on in your life. How do you think that experience has shaped your desire for conflict resolution in your professional career?
You know, you have to get along with others. And that's a good question. I mean, you have to get along with others.
You're sensitive here. Okay, good. Yeah.
You have to get along with others. And, you know, there are a lot of people in business that don't do that. And it's a competitive advantage for us at Phase One that we have a good family environment.
Wait. It's a competitive advantage that you're doing what?
Yeah, getting along with others and empathizing with our clients' needs.
A competitive advantage is getting along with others.
Absolutely.
And understanding their needs.
When I moved to D.C. after 9/11, the first thing I noticed was the appalling way that the technology vendor community here treated the government customers. And I endeavored never to be like that as we started up our business. And we have a white glove service model. We bring high touch to the customers. And we empathize with the missions of this government. Mm-hmm. And try to do the best job that we can to change and make things better, faster, cheaper for them. And so treating people with respect is a core part of that. It's not just employees, it's the customers themselves.
When do you see retiring?
Never.
Oh, wait.
Well, at some point I'll retire, but there are a lot of complicated things still left in this government to solve from a technology standpoint, and that's what gets me out of bed every day.
What does?
Tackling the massively multidisciplinary challenges that are evident within the technology.
So you like looking at big ideas. You like big ideas, huh?
You know, we work with climate change. We work with homelessness. We work with massively complicated endeavors where technology plays a big role.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What's the website address for Phase One?
POCG.com.
POCG.com. We've been speaking with Jared Spiegel, CEO of Phase One. And let's see, Katie Jordan Versal, please give me a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of speaking with today.
Sure. Today we had Remy Butchko, CEO, Georgetown Insurance, Lloyd Palmateer, CEO, First Financial Group, Ted Rose, President and CEO, Rose Financial, and we just heard from Jared Spiegel, CEO, Phase One.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Justin Lang, Pressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Katie Jordan Versal, Mike Rossnell, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Joe Statter, Evergreen Advisors, and Lexi Kessler Aronson for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders at executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.